Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning, morning, morning. Welcome to church on this gloomy, rainy Sunday in March. Yeah, we're in March. It's good to see you all here, and it's good to see that we're all here to worship God and in these troubled times that we're in. So let us begin. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
From Revelations we read, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And from Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." So let us all join together and sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." We are the people of God. The scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us. From Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." And from Luke 15, "I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's from 1 John 1. And please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving Spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand and join with me in what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing Amazing Grace.
During our Lent activities, we had an Ash Wednesday service, and for that Ash Wednesday service,
I jokingly said I scoured the internet for 27 hours to find one good thing. And this was the one good thing, one of the one good things we found. It's a prayer from the 17th century, 1600s. And to think that we often forget, people have been worshipping Jesus and God for centuries. And this is one of those prayers that comes out of that period, which we think must be dusty and old and horrible, but it's just full of passion and love and devotion and praise and worship of our great God. So join with the centuries of people today listening to this prayer. And perhaps if I can get copies for you later if you want to use it yourself.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the center of heaven's happiness, the wellspring that fills saints and angels. There is as much happiness in you as happiness exists. Whatever excellency is in heaven, it is in you. Whatever belongs to glory is found in you. You are all good things to all your saints in heaven, beauty to their eyes, music to their ears, honey to their mouths, perfume to their nostrils, health to their bodies, joy to their souls, light to their understanding, content to their wills. You are time without sliding, company without loathing, desire without fainting. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending. All the virtues, beauties, and goodness in people, animals, trees, and any other creature are nothing but passing sparks compared to your glory.
The collect for today, the first Sunday in Lent. Let us pray for the spirit of discipline and obedience. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weaknesses, so we may know your power to save, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, the world is falling apart. Help us to trust the promise of your word that you are in control. I am soggy and mouldy around the edges, yet I am safe, not because I am more worthy, Lord, but just because I am here. Help us, Lord, when we cannot understand how we got into this mess. We do not know how to make peace. We cannot stop the rising tide. But help us to focus on the contributions we can make. Help us to look outward to the world, not inward to our own confusion. Bring reconciliation in our hearts so that there is just a little more peace in the world. Help us to search carefully for the best way to give to those who have lost everything in the flood, not to burden them with unwanted goods or by our thoughtlessness deprive them of the last vestiges of dignity. May all who suffer find a listening ear, a truly loving heart that loves like you love us. Lord, we know in our heads that you are in control, that you have a plan for their good and not their harm. But our hearts are wavering, and in our helplessness we seek your comfort and guidance. We struggle to wait for action, or when there is an opportunity, to act. Strengthen our obedience to your will. We commit to your care this broken and divided world. Pour out your love and kindness that we may stand with the faithful in every land and praise your name and rejoice in the God of our salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, the Prince of Peace, we pray for people in times of war. Give strength to families torn apart in a desperate bid for safety for the vulnerable. Give courage to those who have stayed put in the face of uncertainty or danger. Give wisdom to those who seek peace and prosper their efforts in the face of tyranny and greed. Give wisdom to all those who stand back from the fighting and seek non-violent means of ending the crisis. For all those in hospitals caring for the wounded, for people trying to keep the lights on, to keep the food in circulation, to keep the utilities functioning, and for all the people who, like us, want only to go about their normal lives, Lord, hear their pain, their anxiety, their tiredness, and their fear, and grant them relief. We pray for all soldiers in times of conflict. Send them home swiftly and safely to their families. Hear the anguish of their mothers. Bring to an end this madness before it infects the whole world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for all the people who have served the parish of St. Giles, generations of saints who have blessed it in material ways, guided decisions in parish meetings, nurtured your people in body and soul, witnessed to the wider community, brought young people to a knowledge and love of Christ, and still today gather to listen. Reach out to help and show your face to the world. We will meet later this morning to carry forward the work. Be in our deliberations and our actions, that we may do your will and shine as a light to the world, only to your glory. We thank you for your faithful servant Eric, for his godly teaching and his gentle guidance. Thank you for the support and encouragement of Christine. We ask that you enfold them and their family in your love and bear them up when life seems overwhelming. We thank you for the presence of Mark in our parish office. We thank you for his efforts in preparing for the AGM and for his assistance throughout the life of the parish. Keep him and Sharon strong in your loving care, that they may continue to serve and strengthen your work here in Greenwich. Thank you for all who share today in the work of the parish, in worship, in teaching, in administration, in maintenance and care, in financial support, in outreach, and in the prayer life of the community. Bless and support them, that your people may flourish. Lord, in your mercy, hear up my prayer. Lord, we thank you for all the awesome aspects of your creation, for the unstoppable turning seasons, for the power of natural forces, for day and night, even when we have not seen the stars for weeks, for winds that circle the globe, for the warmth of the sun, even when you hide it behind massive storms. Forgive us, Lord, when we, by our thoughtlessness or greed, put a spanner in the works. For as a bird can bring down an airliner, so we can wreak havoc on your creation. Help us to comprehend in the swirling storm of information what is true and important, and then to change our ways. Educate and inspire our leaders in business and government to honour your creation and to view creation in your time scale, not the scale of our daily life. Give them wisdom to discern the truth and courage to act, persistence in the face of setbacks, and protect them from the forces of corruption and self-seeking that would turn them from the path of care for your world. Give wisdom to those in authority in every land and guide all people in the way of righteousness and peace, so that they may share with justice the resources of the earth, work together in trust, and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all your people, but particularly this morning for refugees, for those recently engulfed in conflict who never thought that they would be fleeing for their lives, for those fleeing from natural disaster who have fled before and face the prospect haunted by the memories of the past, for those who fled years ago and now live lives of desperation in huge camps, seemingly without future and with a past too awful to remember, for those who sought asylum in Australia and have been locked up for years without hope. Lord, until you set them free, comfort them with your love. Send out your people to care for them. Pour into their hearts your message of hope. Inspire your people with a sense of generosity and silence all those who would stand in judgment, which is yours alone. For those locked up by infirmity, illness of mind, including loneliness, isolated from society, or denied opportunity by discrimination or poverty, we pray for release. For those who have asked for our prayers, Robin Allen, Fleur Fowler, Murray Holmes, Vernon Ireland, Graham Lowther, Judy McMahon, Felicity Purdy, and Margaret Roberts, and those we hold in our hearts. We ask for comfort and succor, meeting the needs of each as you, in your love and wisdom, understand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so, as our Lord taught the disciples to pray, we are confident to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The spot. We haven't had a real spot for a while. And this one comes as a message from our Archbishop. And so I'll let him speak.
G'day. As you know, we were planning to have a synod about this time of year, but in January we needed to make the decision not to proceed. We are planning already for synod in the Greenfields in September later this year. But I wanted to send you a brief message, if only because the events of this week have been so remarkable and disturbing. It has been devastating to witness the unprovoked and unjustified invasion of a democratic and sovereign state by a neighbouring country in Europe. I know you're all remembering the people of Ukraine in your prayers. Please also pray for the people of Russia who live under a despotic regime and have little access to accurate and independent information. Pray for the leaders of the world and for the leaders of Australia as they respond to this utterly shameful display of naked aggression. I've turned to the words of Psalm 10. Arise, O Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror on the earth. At the same time, destructive floods have struck the east coast of Australia, including, as you know, in Brisbane and northern New South Wales, and now the Hawkesbury, southwest Sydney, the Illawarra and Shoalhaven. Some have lost their lives. Others are grieving their loved ones. Thousands of people have nowhere to live and have suffered the loss of their homes, their property and their businesses. Whole communities have lost shops and schools, aged care homes and no doubt church buildings as well. The shock and grief are overwhelming for many. In such times, we want to reach out to help those in need. Anglicare are assisting through food and financial relief and the provision of goods and blankets and what have you through the network of op shops. If people need assistance, they can access it through the op shops or Anglicare's website. If you want to donate money to Anglicare, or if you'd like to volunteer to assist in the clean up and make good work, Anglicare are coordinating volunteers and you can find more information on the Anglicare website. As local churches, you'll be serving in your own communities, and as a fellowship of churches across the diocese, rectors and wardens can be in touch with your regional bishop as particular needs arise. I'm so grateful for the ordinary work of the local church in serving the community. Please continue to pray and take the opportunity to gather for prayer in person or online as the opportunity arises. Do touch base with those people you know who might be anxious or need a voice on the other end of the phone and the chance to pray together. And by all means, do not neglect the Word of God. The Lord says to his scattered people in Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." The Apostle Peter encourages us, "Cast all your anxiety on God, for he cares for you." And the Lord invites us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." In a world of unpredictable upheaval and heart-wrenching loss, there is a shelter in the storm, a place of rest and comfort for the weary and worn. Jesus is our home and hope, an ever-present help in trouble. The Lord be with you.
It's now time for our readings. I'll just start with this. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have one slight variation today in that Psalm 51, Eric found this one that's sung, so we'll just sit and listen to Psalm 51 and Paul won't have to read it, and then Paul will bring the other readings.
Thank you. First reading is from Exodus chapter 34 on page 70 in the Pew Bibles. So Exodus 34 verses 1 to 9. It's entitled, Moses Makes New Tablets. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone, like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up into the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and do not let anyone be seen throughout all the mountain, and do not let the flocks or herds graze in front of that tablet, in front of that mountain. So Moses cut two tablets of stones like the former ones, and he rose up early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name, the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generations. And Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. He said, if now I have found favour in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 4 to 13. That's page 921. And I'm just moving right along. So Romans chapter 10, verses 4 to 13. For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. And then there's a section called Salvation is for All. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to say, bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. No one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with the mouth and is so saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to the shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our final reading is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. That's page 835. And this section is entitled The Temptation of Jesus. So Luke 4, 1 to 15. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve only him. The devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and the report of him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. Today we begin our sermon series for Lent. It's called Miracle of Mercy. And one of the miracles is that I planned this, well, I first thought about it a couple of years ago. It got postponed due to COVID a couple of times. And God, in His wisdom and sovereignty, decided that this was the time that we should be thinking about mercy. A very significant time in the world's history indeed. So the series is called Miracle of Mercy. It's based on one of Rick Warren's 40 Days of Something campaigns. We've done a few of his campaigns in the past, and while he may not be everyone's cup of tea, we have always learned something to help us grow in our relationship with God and in our service to others. Now, we won't be watching any of his videos in our Bible study groups, but over the next 5 weeks leading up to Easter, we will be looking at what he calls the five marks of mercy. We've got one mark standing next to me. Today I'll ignore that. I'll try to give you an overview of those five marks of mercy so that you can look forward to what is to come. So let us pray that God will make us doers of the truth that He will teach us. Heavenly Father, please open our minds to Your truth, our hearts to Your love, and our lives to the inspiration and motivation of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me begin by asking you, in your own minds, to define mercy. Give it a go. What comes to your mind? If you're having difficulty with that, it may be because there are two definitions of mercy. A, withholding from people what they do deserve, and B, giving to people what they don't deserve. For example, stealing a phrase from our Prime Minister, how good is it when a police officer doesn't fine you when you deserve to be fined? If that has ever happened to you, then you are a recipient of true mercy. I'm glad the hand up doesn't get shown on the audio recording. If it has ever happened to you, then you're a recipient of true mercy, the withholding from people what they do deserve kind of mercy. Now, can you think of a time when you offered that kind of mercy to someone else? And secondly, how good is it when a doctor chooses to see you when it's not your turn to be seen? It happened to me once in Gunnedah because the doctor was a member of our congregation. It was a country town, and so it was full of people, the waiting room. I walked in the door, and he was just coming to get the next patient, put that bit of paper down and said, "Mr. Percival." I felt rather embarrassed, but also very pleased because I was in a hurry. But how good is it when a doctor chooses to see you when it's not your turn to be seen? If that has ever happened to you, then you are a recipient of true mercy, the giving to people what they don't deserve kind of mercy. Can you think of a time when you offered that kind of mercy to someone else? Mercy, not wrath, is God's number one attribute in the Bible. It speaks of God's mercy more than about most other things. Yet the world has the complete opposite view of God. They see a God of wrath. They've mistaken God for Moses, a man with a white beard on a mountain with a lot of laws. That's Moses, that's not God. They see a God of wrath, not of mercy. But how does God see himself? How does he describe or reveal himself to us? Well, we had it read this morning, Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, "The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God sees himself as merciful and gracious. In other words, withholding from people what they do deserve and giving to people what they don't deserve. God withholds his wrath and gives his grace because he loves his people. And the Bible tells us that God is love. But this love is not passive. It's not just a feeling that he has. He doesn't know where it came from or what to do with it. His love is an act. Love acts. God describes himself as merciful because mercy is love in action. God describes himself as merciful because mercy is love in action. And then God commands us to love like him. And so does our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Therefore, God can also command us to be merciful as he is merciful. Why? Because mercy is love in action. And God's nature is always to have mercy because God is love. But what does it look like for us to reflect God's nature of mercy? In this sermon series, Rick Warren has given us 5 marks of mercy. The first mark of mercy, I forgive those who have fallen. Now he's using alliteration there, which I love, but we're not going to focus too much on the fallen part because that has all connotations with Adam and Eve. That's just another F word. The main word here is the forgive part. So each time there's a thing, it's the word in green. I forgive. Well, you haven't got it in green on your screen. I have it on mine. First mark of mercy is I forgive those who have fallen. So here's a scenario that you might have seen or experienced yourself. You're late for an appointment or you're late for dinner and you say, please forgive me. And the person you thought you had offended replies, there's nothing to forgive. But if there's nothing to forgive, then there's no reason to show mercy. Remember our police officer who forgives our crime so that we don't have to pay? That's a lot easier when the crime is not committed against the police officer. But what if our crime was crashing into the officer's house with our car while we were drunk? Mercy bears a greater burden when it involves a greater personal cost. Say that again. Mercy bears a greater burden when it involves a greater personal cost. Paul does not ask Christians to adjudicate on the need to forgive strangers. He tells the Colossians to forgive the one who has offended them personally. Colossians 3:13. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now notice, this is a command, it's not advice. It is not optional. So you also must forgive. Forgiveness is a mark of mercy. The second mark of mercy is I help those who are hurting. Feeling sorry for someone is not enough if we are to be merciful to those who are in need. James 2:15 to 17 says, if a brother or sister is naked or lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. 1 Corinthians 13, a passage we know well, says, without love, we are nothing. But that's not the gooey feeling that we have inside that he's talking about. Mercy is love in action. So without mercy, we are nothing. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. 1 John 3:17, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? The next verse 18. Let us then love, not in word or speech, but in truth, and action. And that brings us to the question we need to ask in this current time. How are we responding to everything that is happening in the world around us today? Helping the hurting is a mark of mercy that reflects the nature of God. The third mark of mercy is, I am patient with difficult people. If you don't know who the difficult person is in the room, it might be you. What do we mean by difficult people? That might just be your description of someone with whom you cannot relate. But in the same way that one person's trash is another person's treasure, I think that the person you might describe as difficult is someone that I find quite easy to get along with. Even the Apostle Paul found it hard to get on with everyone. He, as we might know, had a very public spat with the Apostle Peter. Paul was a strong, brave, and capable person who had little in common with people who were idle, timid, or weak. He wanted people to be like him, confident. And so he instructed the Christians in the church at Thessalonica to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak. But in that very command in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul adds these words, "And we urge you, beloved, to be patient with all of them." Someone has said, the better you get to know difficult people, the better you can work with them. You might label someone as difficult because they have hurt you in the past. I think Paul might have labelled the young John Mark as difficult because of the way that Mark abandoned Paul's mission after Paul had deliberately chosen him to come with them on that journey. Another public spat ensued, this time between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas? How can you have a fight with Barnabas? Paul refused to take Mark with him on their next journey, but Barnabas, the son of encouragement, took Mark under his wing and was patient with him. Later, when Paul got to know about Mark, to know more about Mark, he was much happier to work with him. And it was in between those two events that Paul wrote these words to the Thessalonians about being patient with difficult people. He was already beginning to mellow. It's interesting that in the next verse in the passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, it says, "See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to all." Mercy is about withholding the bad you think people do deserve and giving the good that you think people don't deserve. How do you deal with difficult people, especially those who have hurt you in the past? It's easier to criticise than to sympathise. I wish I'd made that phrase up, but I stole it. It's easier to criticise than to sympathise. It's easier to point a judgmental finger, try not to point at anyone. It's easier to point a judgmental finger than to extend a helping hand. Again, not my words, but still good. Very often, hurtful people are just hurting people that need a friend to help them. Our good shepherd came not to criticise the lost sheep, but to save them. Being patient with the difficult is a mark of mercy that reflects the nature of God. Our fourth mark of mercy, I am kind to my enemy. Now in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now Jesus practiced what he preached. As he was dying on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Jesus loved his enemies, and he prayed for those who persecuted him. And actions like this made a very big impact. Remember when the centurion combined the love Jesus had for those who crucified him with all the other unusually loving acts by Jesus towards people like the thief on the cross beside him, the centurion then concluded that Jesus really was God. When the way we love stands out from the crowd. It makes a very big impact. In Luke 6:33, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. It doesn't stand out from the rest of the world and what they do. Romans 5:8 says, but God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we're enemies, Christ died for us. If we want to be like Christ, then we must love like Christ. Then the love we demonstrate for our enemies might likewise have a big impact on our world. Being kind to our enemies is a mark of mercy that reflects the nature of God. The fifth mark of mercy is I care for the lost. Now, we're not Google Maps. We're not talking about people who are physically lost. We're talking about the spiritually lost. Now, I don't remember who said it, but I remember the quote, Christians should be dangled over hell for 5 minutes a day to reignite their passion for evangelism. Good thought. There are worldwide movements to ensure that animals don't suffer. You see it on the bottom of movies. No quokkas were hurt in this movie or something. There are worldwide movements to ensure that animals don't suffer. Well, the worldwide movement to ensure that the lost don't suffer is called Christianity. God is love, and his nature is always to have mercy, and mercy is love in action. So the ultimate expression of mercy is actually there in our most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. What's our definition of mercy? Withholding what people do deserve, we deserve to perish under judgment, and giving to people what they don't deserve, we don't deserve eternal life. Mercy does all it can to keep the lost from going to hell because it cares for them. And God is love, and love is mercy, and mercy is love in action. So God does all he can to keep the lost from going to hell because he cares for them. And that brings us to the question about us. If we're trying to be like God, are we doing all we can to keep the lost from going to hell? Do we care for them? Caring for the lost is a mark of mercy that reflects the nature of God. Why should we even think about being merciful in this world? Well, because God commands us to be merciful. I might put that next one up. Luke 6:36. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. A command from Jesus. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Remember, the disciples came to Jesus when he was talking about forgiveness, and they said, yeah, but how often do I have to forgive? How often do I need to display mercy? I've got a lot of other things on my to-do list. Listen to Psalm 145, which is basically a reinterpretation of the Exodus passage we read. But it's Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Actually, put them the other way around so you know it's a different passage. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God shows steadfast and unfailing love, and love, that's mercy. Mercy is love in action. But God doesn't cease to show mercy, just as he doesn't cease to be loving, because he is love. He can't not be love. His nature is always to have mercy. He can't stop being merciful. How often do we need to display mercy? It needs to become part of our nature. We are very familiar with God's command to love like him. We say it nearly every week. But I think we might be just a little bit less familiar with, or at least we are generally less focused on, God's command to be reflecting his nature of mercy. According to Rick Warren, when we do reflect God's mercy, we will begin to exhibit these marks of mercy in our own lives. And these marks of mercy are all acts of love. I forgive those who have fallen. I help those who are hurting. I am patient with difficult people. I am kind to my enemy. I care for the lost. Someone has said, the world becomes a better place when we become better people. But we can't just be better until we start to do better. Again, not my phrase, still good. You can't do something different if you don't know something different. Also stolen. We need to know God's mercy so that we can display God's mercy. We need to know and display the kind of mercy that both withholds the bad that is deserved and gives the good that is not deserved. Only then can we be people who are truly merciful as our Father is merciful. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, when we take the time to be still and to know that you are God, we remember that your nature is always to have mercy. And as recipients of that mercy, we are eternally grateful. Please help us to be more like you. Help us not just to perform occasional acts of mercy, but to cultivate a nature of mercy, to be merciful as you are merciful. May your word continue to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's now time for our final song, and can it be?
Have a seat.
Please take a seat. I'm going to make two comments on that. Firstly, Eric spends a lot of time looking for appropriate songs for our service, and in this particular one, he had to add the words at the bottom there, so he spent quite a bit of time on that, so he did well. And secondly, we looked for one with a bassoon, but there weren't none. Sorry, Sharon.
Oboe's a little bit soon, isn't it?
Oh,
no. don't quote me.
I just ruined it. Sorry.
What do I go backwards?
Sorry.
What have we done? No. Notice this. All right, we thought we'd put in a What You Missed section so that if you were sort of asleep this week, you'd know all the good things that we are doing that you missed. So one of the first things was we had Shrove Tuesday prayer and pancakes. I didn't get to turn up, but apparently they had a good time. And I got some leftover pancakes the next day, so that was great. And then we had our Ash Wednesday service, which was also great, and we had some, Grey Matters got together in the morning and did that. A couple of us got together because it was raining on Wednesday night. It was still a good time. We're two or three gathered, Jesus came and joined us, and we had a wonderful evening. So try more of that. Now, would Celia like to report?
Yes, I'd love to.
Come up. Use the microphone.
I'm feeling tears after that performance. My glasses back on. What I'd like to report is to thank all the members of the congregation who turned up and made it a really special morning. Prue and Michael's address to us was so relevant to the theme. Their talk of the missional work that they were involved in England, Ireland and Wales, Northern Ireland and Wales, missional in terms of meeting the needs of the people, mercy in action. And it was a lovely service, and thank you everybody who came, and I hope to see you at St Andrews next year.
There was about 30 people here.
We were half of them.
Yeah. No, that was a good mixture.
Yeah, Mark did the service and it was really well put together. Coming up next then, coming soon, is very soon, after you've had a quick gulp of tea and biscuits or whatever else is out there, cake, then we're having our annual general meeting after this service. So around about 10:30, when we feel like we're ready to go, we'll come back in here and go through the motions of that beautiful meeting.
And then Julie was cut out by having to isolate for COVID with a friend of hers. So she'll be back on the 20th. And so we're looking forward to hearing from her again on her farewell tour. And I think... Birthdays. Oh, I had...
Birthdays.
Birthdays, a whole lot of list of birthdays. Today is Fleur Fowler's birthday. Yep. So we'll pray for her. And Vernon's is on the 10th. Bev's on the 11th. Is that right, Bev? Don't want to.
Yeah, but I'm forgetting it.
Okay. Right. Fair enough. We don't want to know. Haley's coming up, 13th, and Robin Crawford on the 19th. And if yours is not mentioned, let me know. We'll add it to the list. We'll pray for those people. Lord God and Father, thank you for the family that we are, your family, as with you as our Heavenly Father. We thank you that we can rejoice with those who rejoice, and boy, do we need some times to rejoice in this world where we're doing so much weeping with those who weep. We thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate a life, your gift of life and your gift of eternal life. And we thank you that these people are your people, and so they can celebrate both. Thank you for bringing them to us, and that we can mutually encourage each other as we meet and share and pray and sing together. We pray that you'll bless them and give them more years of life. In fruitful service to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have another note that says, if you hear of anyone who could have reduced rent to live, we need someone who's got a place with reduced rent. So if you hear of anyone or know of anyone who's got somewhere that's being rented out, we have people that can use that space. So I won't go into all the details there, but if you do hear... Yes?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm looking for low rent accommodation. That's what I want. I'm trying to interpret my note. So if you know of anyone who's got a place that's available for rent at a low fee, that would be helpful. Also, we have some forms here that the wardens need to sign before they leave today. So make sure you do that.
Old wardens or new ones?
New ones. Sorry, old ones. Old ones.
You don't have to be old. Remarkably so much. And that's about it.
Okay.
And so if there's anything else from anyone else going gone.
So please join me in the final saying here. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Christ. Amen.
But don't go too far. Come back for the meeting.